Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 10. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. Nate is our sound engineer, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, what is going on, my brother?
Nothing too much. I'm just trying to get over the last episode that we did and get all the creepies out.
H.H. Holmes, you call him a character.
I called him, I called him a character.
Or in part one, yeah. And
we got to get the creepies out to get the creepies back in, right?
Yeah, so in between part one and part two, we were just like, wow, this guy, I mean, still just, there's so much to him.
Yeah, we're talking off the mics as much as we are on.
I know, right. Yeah. We probably should have collected
that.
Can
you believe this guy?
We should have recorded that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, should just hit record and just catch everything.
Oh, yeah. Right. That'd been, yeah. He's
off
just
the show.
Wackadoo. I mean, not a fun wackadoo either. A true creepy.
He's a piece of work, and that's also putting it nicely.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, it was fun, though. Part one was fun to discuss, to talk about this guy, H.H. Holmes. Yeah, definitely a lot of information and content to talk about. But, and Nate, you doing all right, man?
Yeah, I'm doing excellent.
Good.
Doing good.
We took a snack break.
Yeah, a little snack.
Yeah, a little Doritos for us. What'd you eat, Sean?
I had a bar.
Oh, boo.
A burr. It's chocolate.
That's true. No, I do like those, actually. I like those. Yeah, we always have to have a snack break, and I eat snacks constantly, all day long and all night long. So I actually made it through the first episode.
They say snacking throughout the day is better than technically the three meals that we do, right?
Yeah, so it's, yeah. Well, I got to have those too.
There you go, yep.
No, but yeah, it was fun, part one. So now we're bringing part two of this crazy guy. So, Sean, I'm going to turn it over to you.
So should we use the part do again? Or I know we may have wore that out the last time we did it with
no,
the underground civilization.
No, it works, part do.
This is H.H. Holmes part do. Someday we're going to have to explain that with Hot Shots. Hot Shots Part 1 and Part 2.
Yeah, some of our listeners might not know.
That was a fantastic movie.
Wasn't it? I have to watch that. That's the one that I'm going to have to watch.
Oh, yeah. And we saw it at the theater. I saw both of those.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, we did
both of those movies.
We thought we were really something, too. Like, it was a real scandalous type movie. I don't know about scandalous, but we thought we were getting away with something.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're younger. And I was in my mid-20s, I think, when the second one came out. So, anyway. But, yeah, so.
So, we are going to wrap this guy up. Yeah, the character / dastardly fiend / arch fiend, Dr. Death,
maniac, the devil.
So we're wrapping this guy up. We're putting him to bed where he belongs.
So where did we leave off? So in part one, we talked about kind of how he started out, where he went to school, when he was born, kind of how he got into the con game and the scamming of people and their money. And
talk about how many wives he's had.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. What was it? Four?
Four. Yep.
And then, yeah. And then
we're pretty sure two lived, two did not.
And then how he got into purchasing the land for and building this murder castle. And then just from there.
Yeah, was just dastardly deeds.
Yeah. Just the taking advantage of the World's Fair in 1893 in Chicago. Yep. That was, talk about just come to Papa,
and
they just came to him, and he had all kinds of people to do what he wanted to do with them. And
yeah, just all the details about that murder castle is really nasty. It doesn't exist anymore.
And yeah, so it's hard to say post exactly.
Yeah, they're right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had, so Nate, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Cause I have
the Inglewood post office.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. I have it somewhere in my notes, and
it's the
lot of notes.
So
the basement of that place is the interesting place, or the interesting part of that building right now.
Yeah, and so in some of my research, they say, even though yes, the building is not there anymore, that it's still got some creepiness, some haunting, possible paranormal.
Oh, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. So it would be. We were talking off mic. Well, no, well, we said, you know, would you ever go there and all that? But man, I'm thinking, you know, it would be awesome if that building was still there. Just to take a tour.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We were actually, I think we were on, Mike. You asked if we would stay there, and I'm like, and I, Nate, you said no, but you'd like to take a tour.
Yeah. I'm not too fond of, like, staying the night somewhere.
Yeah. That's not everybody's
gig. You prefer your own bed, right?
Now, see, I'm not a camp guy. No, I never did camp, and I'm not like that. But, like, to stay in a creepy haunted house or murder castle, oh, I'm all in.
Now, if you're specifying as stay there the night as, you know, doing like a paranormal thing, like investigating, not just like, hey, let's go there and
throw sleep.
Throw some sleeping bags down and sleep. No, I'm not down with that.
I'm doing both.
Now, if we're just going to go there and
walk around
in the
and
dark.
Spend the night doing that.
Yeah, so. I'd probably be all right with that. But yeah, there's no sleep happening.
No shut eye is what you're saying.
Yes.
I think he made it. Yeah. He's like,
no rest for the wicked.
So spend the night? No, I'm not going to sleep there.
I'm all in for both. I'm just saying right now, Todd, I'm taking the tour. I'm doing the investigation.
Todd will take whatever he gets.
And
get,
I'm going to get some shut eye in there. Maybe one eye open. No. it'd be wild. But
I think I'm kind of with Nate where I don't think much sleeping would get done. I don't know. I'd probably consider it, but I don't know. I think I would love to go through
crack, man.
In the daylight. I'd love to see the murder castle. And it's, it really gets to me. Some of these stories though, like if they're, and I know there's an exaggerated form of this guy's history. There is a apologist, you know, people talking about, he wasn't that bad. And somewhere in between probably is where the truth lies. But there was so much of this stuff talking about the horrible, horrible stuff he did. It's just, it makes you sick to your stomach thinking about some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on this part due, Sean said,
I like that term. I like that term.
Yeah, I do too. You know what? Let's just trademark that. So this guy, of all the crazy, scary, creepy, torturous things he did, and just the scamming was, you know, bad enough, but he just took it to many levels above that. You guys want to talk about how he got like captured or what led to his?
Yeah, because he, out of all the things captured, that he did,
that's where I'm at in my notes. So.
Right. Well, I know one thing that he, in order to allow him to leave Chicago, is I saw this was a one-time actress named Mimi Williams moved to Chicago, and he happened to run into her at the unemployment office. And while there, he offered her a job at the hotel, so she's accepted. So, yeah, I'll come and work for you. He finally persuaded her to transfer her deed to her property in Fort Worth, Texas, to a alias of Holmes. Alexander Bond, and
that's a cool name too.
Yeah, he was good with coming up with names.
He was ahead of his time on the Bond thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty cool names. Yeah, I'll give him that.
But she had property down in Fort Worth, and he had convinced her to, you know, transfer ownership to him under an alias, and that sort of gave him his gateway to be able to leave Chicago if need be.
He didn't spend much time in Texas. I know he was trying to do the same thing down in Texas.
Yeah.
But somebody on one of their videos said you can't out Texas Texans. So
yeah,
that didn't work out too well for him.
He'll be on to you pretty good.
Yeah, he tried to build another murder castle down there. He only got like halfway completed, if that. And yeah, they're on to him. They're like, no, you're swindling us out of money and, you know, doing the whole hiding all the material and telling this builder, I don't know what happened to it, and this builder, you know, just causing all that controversy of trying to build it and trying to not pay for anything.
Yeah,
and they caught on.
It's amazing
quick.
How long he got away with that. And then in Chicago, he left upwards of what they have documented, like 50 or 60 lawsuits. And so he was in and out of court constantly.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how you get
it's
away
almost
with
like
that,
he though. Wasn't scared of the law. Like,
no,
like he couldn't get caught.
Yeah, and it's so strange.
Nothing
and
intimidated him as far as
they say
law
that's all that was documented. Some of the documents just didn't even last.
But
so
yet
it could have been more.
It always seems, you know, seems like they're always on his trail, but I don't know. He's always like one step ahead of them, maybe.
Yeah, they couldn't lock him down.
It's like, we're on to you. We know you're doing stuff, but
we can't quite figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's where like the Capone, intelligence right? comes in.
Yeah.
He can always outthink, one step ahead. He can stay just far enough from law enforcement to, you know, to get pinned down on something. And yeah, and then, you know, he's skipping town all the time and just and you know, those type of people, those lawsuits, they just laugh it off. I mean, and they'd appeal or they can drag it out. Yeah. They just whatever. Give me 100.
Like you
lawsuits.
Said, like, or maybe Sean said, like, you had the ability of, you know, blending in. If you wanted to disappear, mm-hmm. he'd disappear. And
yeah, well, the horrible, like, the kind of to tie up some of that Chicago stuff too, though. In his murder castle, when he was after the lady that he killed and the 6 year old, they said that not long after he said that they moved to go be with family, like somewhere in California. Yeah. And he had one of his cronies, telling that same story that they said he probably just told him, hey, say this.
Now, didn't he?
But they came up missing and he magically had the skeleton to sell to science, you know, for a good chunk of change. But then, and then that's the same, the 6 year old skeleton was supposedly dug out. And they, it was funny, not funny, but they said it wasn't hardly any time before he was renting up that room. And there's a story, and how true this is, I don't know. But as he's showing these people around this room, said that the bedroom had women's clothes all over the place and disheveled. And there was a little baby doll on the floor, and as he's showing him, he just kicks the baby doll under the bed. So that's how, I mean, we talked about him being a psychopath and having no empathy and feelings. It's like, oh, yeah, that's nothing. Don't worry about that. You know, it's like.
Now, wasn't one of his schemes in Chicago, didn't he set fire to his
murder? The third floor,
yeah,
right?
He said, floor. Yeah, try to get a settlement.
An insurance claim,
yeah.
There was nothing that guy would not do.
Yeah.
If it's to get money and, you know.
Can you imagine the state that he
fund
left that in
he
when he left, when he just left there, you know, Chicago? Yeah. But, yeah, Texas wasn't very long that he stayed down there.
No.
But on his way to Texas, he actually ended up staying here in Indianapolis for a little while.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So, he stayed, what is it, like a little suburb or whatever of Indianapolis, Irvington?
Irvington.
It's over, if you know anything about the layout of Indianapolis, it's over near, I believe, Butler University.
Yeah, it's on the east side.
Yeah,
east side
of downtown. And, and he was suspected of killing a young boy while he was here. I didn't see how long he stayed here in Indianapolis.
That was
did.
One of the Peitzel kids. That
was it one of the Peitzel kids?
Yeah,
okay.
That was when he was, it's so hard to keep up with where he was at because he was going back and forth between all these different, you know, across the Midwest and playing games with, Alice Peitzel, which was goes back into, that's why this is so hard to talk about, because when he got jailed for the fraud, that, you know, he got caught in one of these little schemes that he was in, and he told, there was an inmate there, what was his name, Marion Hedgepeth, he told him all about his scheme with Peitzel, and it was he was supposed to get $10,000 he told Peitzel if he just pretended, like, you know, they pretended he died, and he could find a body, he had no problem finding bodies, and
killing
them. Yeah, exactly. And then Peitzel, of course, went along with it, and they decided to leave, and they left together to go to Pennsylvania. And it was Alice, they just told him, like, oh, you know, everything will be fine. So, and she has 5 kids at home. And so she went along with it and let him go. And then in the process, when they're on the road, he decides what better way to get a body, but then just to, you know, to kill the guy that Ben Peitzel. So that's how that ended up going. But of course, he's telling the wife that he's just in hiding and that you've got some of your kids come with me. So he ended up with 3 of her kids and running all over God's creation, saying, he said that she was with a lady that had already been dead for a year that he'd killed. But he's like, oh, yeah, he's with this girl named Mimi something or other. And
oh, that's
so
the actress.
Mimi that's Williams. The actress. Yeah. So she's already been dead. And so he's running around with these kids, and she's supposed to have them. And he's telling one story and another. How he kept up with his lies, I have no idea.
Well, it's hard to keep up with it on paper.
So he's going back. I know, exactly. So that's why this puzzle doesn't get put together great, because he's so convoluted.
Well, that's when I was doing research. I had to kind of go back to, because I'd write something. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. And then so I try to keep my notes at least in order, and I was having a hard time with that.
You sort of need to do like a timeline with
right,
him.
No kidding. Like,
go through the research
Then it's going to be like squiggles all over the place. Cause
wide out.
I'm sure he was having the time of his life just keeping people, you know, in the dark and trying to still run schemes and run from the law. And he, But that Marion Hedgepeth, he had promised him $500 for a crooked lawyer that would help him in this insurance scheme, and he never paid this guy. Well, that was his big downfall, because this guy ended up helping the investigators, saying, "Oh, he told me all about his schemes," and so that's how they got on his trail. Yeah. But that's the Pinkertons. The Pinkertons are the ones that ended up chasing him down.
And I had in my notes, it was November 17th, 1894. Mm-hmm. And if anybody doesn't know, yeah, the Pinkerton, it's called the Pinkerton National Detective Agency.
They're famous.
I think they're still around. I think they might be.
I think so.
Could be wrong on that. That'd be something if listener wants to, yeah.
Yep.
I think they are. But yeah, like Sean said, he was finally arrested in Boston on 11/17 of 1894. By the Pinkertons, and I have it in my notes that he was tracked by the Pinkertons from Philadelphia, and then when he was held in jail on a warrant for horse theft. Did you guys have that in your notes?
No, I didn't come across that.
I do. Yeah, yeah, I
said he was tracked by the Pinkertons from Philadelphia, and then he was held in jail from an outstanding warrant for horse theft in
Isn't
Texas.
Isn't that how they always get? Everybody,
something.
Yeah, they're notorious of something, but they get them on a traffic violation.
Yeah, it's like we talked about Al Capone. You know, this mobster, you know, gang member had all these guys killed and all that, and they get him tax evasion. Like something like what? But yeah, so the horse theft was in Texas, and then he was held because the authorities thought he was a threat to flee the country. So as we know, this guy. Bouncing all over the place, it's hard to track him, you know. And he's, you know, if he thinks he's kind of getting found out, or if there is somebody that's putting some pressure on him, then yeah, we know he's kind of moves on to the next town. And so that, yeah, so they held him because they thought he's probably gonna leave the country, or could be.
Pinkertons, by the way, agents performed services ranging from security guarding to private military contracting work. The company has continued to exist in various forms through to the present day, is now a division of the Swedish security company Securitas AB, operating as Pinkerton Consulting and Investigations.
Inc. Oh, cool.
So they still exist.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they've been around forever.
Yep.
I know I've heard, some of my... old West stories. Mm-hmm. Pinkertons were around.
Yep.
So that's how they got him. And then, my notes said no evidence was found in Chicago. Now this is weird to me. And maybe I wrote it down wrong or read it wrong. It said no evidence was found in Chicago that could have convicted Holmes. And some say that the stories of torture, and then one guy, I didn't write his name, they said it was, he called it 20th century fiction.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying before, is that there, you know, one person, there's just the most extreme form of this story, and then you turn around and they're like, yeah, most of it was made up, you know, yeah. It's just you don't have enough documentation to prove it. But yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I saw so many different ways it was documented the same way in the at least pretty horrible. And we know... for sure, he ran around with these three children, left one in, like you said, in Indianapolis in a stove, and then
was that the Irvington?
He was found in the Irvington. Stove.
Yeah,
other two children, he and were girls,
right.
And they were left in Toronto.
Yeah,
so
and he, that was with the pie because I had forgot
those were the Peitzel
he said
children.
He had five kids, and if I would have read my notes again, he had killed three out of the five Peitzel children.
Yeah, and when he was caught, of course he thought. I think he really thought he would get away. He would always get away with stuff. And they said that when he was in court, he had to face the Alice Peitzel. She cried in open court. And I think they say when she cried and she was, you know, talking about all, you know, losing three of her five children. And they said everybody in the courtroom was crying except for him. He didn't cry. And they said that he was like, oh shoot, I missed my
yeah,
chance.
Right.
I could have looked like a human being.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I missed it. But he also had kicked his counsel out. Like he dismissed the first thing he did, he got up and he dismissed his lawyers and basically like, I'll be taking care of my own case.
Yeah.
And they said he was allowed to be front and center. And he was theatrical. And later on, they said when his wife came into court that he cried then because he thought, oh, I'm going to take advantage of showing.
Yeah. That he learned what to do.
Exactly. Right. He's like, okay, I got to remember how to be a human being, you know? And so it was just a big, and then he called his council back in when he realized he was losing so that he could potentially, you know, blame them and not take the fall for the fact that he was going to be put to death.
Well, it looks like while he is in jail, he was paid from a newspaper for his confession and everything. So he wrote, you know, his confessions. And this little excerpt that I found in here is fascinating. He's sitting there talking about, well, for one thing, his lying made it difficult for researchers to ascertain the truth on the basis of his statements. So that's what makes this whole ordeal so difficult to follow and figure out and what's real and what's true. I mean, he is just a compulsive liar.
That was William Randolph Hearst that actually that paid him for his story.
Yeah, Hearst newspaper.
Oh, yeah, he's...
And
he's another character.
Yeah, he said various contradictory accounts of his life, initially claiming innocence, then later he was possessed by Satan. And while in prison, he drastically changed his facial appearance while being in imprisonment. And now he has a new grim appearance and gruesome and taking a satanical cast. And he wrote that now convinced that after everything that he had done, he was beginning to resemble the devil.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I'm looking at.
That's a strong statement right there.
And I put that where his quote was, "I was born with the devil in me. I could not help the fact that I was a murderer, no more than a poet can help the inspiration to sing. I was born with the evil one standing as my sponsor beside the bed where I was ushered into the world, and he has been with me since." Yeah, that's chilling.
Yeah.
I've seen that, and then that's the very last part of my notes was that quote, and it gives me goosebumps.
And it's like, by all accounts, his childhood was normal. He was normal. I mean, it just, for him to sit there and say, you know, I was born as a devil.
The devil's right there beside him.
Mojo right there.
Ushered him into the world, and he's ushering him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great, he has another quote, but that's the most famous one. He said, the dude had something going on.
Well, and then at the end, like when he was actually hanged. Which is funny because is it hanged or hung? Hanged. They say if it's has to do with being killed, and it's past tense, you're hanged.
Right.
But if you know a picture was hung on the wall, you know, so if it's still, not killed, you know, yes. Or if you were tortured but not killed, then you were hung. So it's really weird. But so he was hanged, but he had denied everything at that point. So it's like he went, like you said, all over the place.
Yeah.
But to the very end too.
And then there's also theories that
he
wasn't actually, he convinced somebody else or somehow concocted someone else to be in his, stand in his stead and be hanged. So that wasn't actually him. Although that was now recently they dug him up. His great, great grandson. We were talking about Jeff Mudgett before had him exhumed so that they could prove that it was actually him. Cause he was convinced that he may have, you know, tricked somebody else into taking the fall for
lived
him.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, and so it kept living, but apparently did not. It really was him. But he had himself put under, what, is it 10 feet?
10 feet of concrete.
10 feet of concrete.
Because he did not want to be disturbed. He did not want people messing with him.
Grave robbers. He didn't want anybody to come and disturb his...
Yeah, ironically, right?
Yeah.
Didn't want people to do the same things that he would have done to them.
Yeah.
Now, did we mention the day that he was hanged?
So...
It was May 7th, 1869, or 96. 1896.
Yes, I've got 5/7 of 80. Yeah. 96. Yeah.
Now, what's interesting with that?
Yeah, he was in, and it was a prison in Philadelphia called Moya Menzing.
Yep.
I didn't look to see if that was still
such a cool name.
I love that name, Moya Menzing. Yeah. If I'm pronouncing it right, if it's still there.
What was interesting with his hanging was, usually, to my understanding, when you dropped, your neck snapped, and that's what would kill you. Did not happen in his case. So that he had to hang there for 15, 20 minutes and basically be strangled to death.
Yeah, that's actually how he died, was strangulation. Yeah,
strangulation.
The broken neck.
Yeah.
And I like the word. So I'll just read it how I have it. It said that Holmes's head did not snap, as Nate said, at the hanging. Rather, he strangled to death slowly while twitching for over 15 minutes before being pronounced dead 20 minutes after the trap had been sprung. Twitching, can you imagine?
Which is ironic. It's sad.
Now, good for him, though. He should. Yeah. But it still gives me goosebumps.
Yeah. They say when he was in prison, there was a story about him watching people get hanged when they were hanged for their crimes, and that he would watch these people and never thought it would happen to him. But he was fascinated by
twitching
of the bodies or the, you know, how they died and how they went through the process. And so that was entertaining to him, again, according to stories. But so for that to happen to him is kind of just desserts, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Poetic justice.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad he suffered a little bit. I know it sounds awful, but guy. I'm sorry. I understand. I don't have
He was not a human being.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, you know, what he did.
The children that he inflicted torture on, the women that he inflicted.
He was a predator.
And again, not sure to what degree he did. It sounds as most intense, he's just a horrible human being, you know, but even at his best, he was not a good person.
Yeah, right. At his worst, he killed
I mean, at least 100 or 200. That's
okay.
Still,
so take a fourth or a fifth of what he did. That's still
That's still a lot.
That's a bad dude.
Yeah.
That's a sick, perverted predator. Scammer, con artist, everything you want to mention. This guy, I said, even if he just did a little portion of what
I think
is
Nate
rumored,
should take us into the most. I mean, we've talked about some interesting aspects of this, but Nate needs to bring us into the most interesting. It's a theory.
It's definitely a theory, and on some levels, it seems understandable and possibly possible. But there are claims that. H.H. Holmes was Jack the Ripper in England.
And that's a name we have not mentioned yet. He is known as the American Ripper.
Yes.
So and there's a whole History Channel show about the American Ripper too, as him. But then they theorize this as well.
Mm-hmm. And they're trying to find ways of truly, definitely connecting him to the Jack the Ripper murders.
Well, his great grandson Jeff Mudgett believes that. He's the one that is trying to prove this. And he said,
so
people have blamed. People have come at him and said, "Oh, you just want notoriety and you want to make a buck out of this." And he's like, "Honestly, he just wants to put some of these things to rest. You know, really figure out
Jack
who his great grandfather was." And Jack the Ripper's still it's an unsolved mystery. Yeah. He's tried to work through Scotland Yard and through, you know, our agencies as well to help figure that out. Because it would be nice to know, like, Jack the Ripper's we can spend a whole bunch of time on that one as well. Someday we should.
And when was Jack the Ripper timeline? Was
1888.
That 1888? I thought it was 888.
Yeah, and he killed at least five. They say there are some other murders that could be attributed, but there were five definite prostitutes.
Well, the five were like the notorious everybody knew about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's others
multiples
that could be tied to him.
Yeah.
Right.
I've listened to enough Jack the Ripper stories on podcasts and watched, especially the last two I've listened to on a couple of podcasts, and their authors and what they're saying as far as who could be the Ripper. Is a lot more overwhelming than this guy. Not that this guy couldn't be the Ripper. I mean, again, nothing's concrete, but it's fun to talk about, and it's like Nate says, plausible. But I'm telling you right now, like, I've listened to a couple, and I'm like, holy moly, if they're not the Ripper, then I don't know who. You know, they'll never play, because they have so much information, they're so knowledgeable, and they're giving. They don't just go, "Well, I think," you know what I'm saying? They're giving what could. Why they think it is a lot of information, and I'm like, those are the two best. I can't remember I listen to
the barber is is it Russian or the one who they think it is the barber guy, Polish, his Polish barber. I can't remember his name.
Well, but the one that I think of, there's an American, there's an American that is, he was a medical doctor. He was a creep. He was a scam. And he was literally in London in 1888. Yeah. And he had criminal history. I mean, anyway, it's just some of that stuff. You know, how they put everything together, like timeline to what, you know, being there and what they did and what the, and
well, and it's all surgical precision.
Yeah,
cuts
I just
removing
and
uterus.
And this guy was obviously could do stuff. I just don't think it's H.H. Holmes. Well, but that's my opinion.
I think he's more brutal, other than being surgical.
Yeah, and I think and this guy's a torturer.
Yeah,
a captor, or they said literally the Jack the Ripper was getting these women, killing them in minutes.
Yeah,
quickly bailing.
Yeah,
and then where this guy is
almost impossible.
He's just kind of just sitting there waiting. He watched. He liked the enjoyment of taking his time to watch people die or kill them or whatever. And that was a great.
And they said that they have pretty good proof that, you know, H.H. Holmes during 1888. He was in the States.
Yeah. Right. Not
well,
for the,
yeah.
Number one, I got to stop talking with my hands because I'm going to keep hitting the microphone.
Oh,
I don't know how bad that bang was, but
I don't. No, I can't hear.
The other thing, it's when Nate said that, I was like, I really got to take that with a grain of salt. I watched some videos, same thing, where it's like, no, it really points to other people. Yeah. But I have taken the time to watch some of these, and especially Jeff Mudgett. And I know you can take information, you can take stats, you can take science, and you can kind of mold things and make it look how you want. And that's what I kept thinking, like, I think this is really stretching it. Because there's definitely some videos, if you watch it, you're like, yeah, he definitely wasn't Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
But there is a TED Talk, it's about 20 minutes with Jeff Mudgett, and he says he plays the prosecuting counsel, and he uses the audience, and he tells them, you know, I want you to not think about anything you've heard on Jack the Ripper. I want you to really like any movies, any books, anything that you've heard on it, and let me, you know, kind of give you the evidence I have. And afterwards, he takes a poll to see what everybody thinks, and he's convinced the majority of them that. Mm. And he said, "This is the kind of thing that I need to really help. You know, I want these." He's like, "I don't want to just say I believe this and so it's true. I want somebody to help me to figure this out." But he goes through and talks about that Dear Boss letter, which is interesting. And he actually has had professional handwriting experts. And there is he showed that it's with these experts, it's 97.95%. I think he called it 96.9 or whatever. But anyway, he said, I could have each one of you try to copy Jack the Ripper's, you know, signatures and his writing. And he's like, you wouldn't come near that number. And he's like, for his writing to be that close.
Interesting.
And it was letters that he wrote.
Yeah, I saw something about the letters comparing
and there was,
them.
He had made mention in a letter to one of his lawyers back in Chicago that, what was it? The New York Times, I think it was New York Times, is really hard to find in London at one of his, like, talking to him. So they're like, well, he wasn't even in London. And it's like, according to this document that letter he'd sent to his lawyer, he had been. And that's what a lot of the videos had said, he wasn't there during that time. But if you listen to Jeff Mudgett, it is, there is a gap of time. Mm-hmm. Don't know what happened.
Well,
to
and
him.
That's the totally interesting thing of it.
Right.
It is a theory.
He shows that
there is
possible
evidence
that he was over there. Yeah. And a lot of places don't. And it is. It's a wild theory. And I'm not saying it's true. But it is. But at first, it was kind of one of those things where like, it's a fairy tale.
It's a different
tale.
MO, though.
But I mean, it's really interesting. And he says that they've talked to people. If this was a modern day case, and you really tried to kind of narrow it down, he said they had up to 100 different suspects for Jack the Ripper over the years. 100.
Oh yeah.
They have narrowed it down to 5. If you narrowed it down, but they said that when the way that it was, these murders were done for Jack the Ripper, and you're right, he does sound like he was a lot more gruesome and slashing them, but the precision with which he surgically did some of the things he did, and then very calmly put this lady, you know, the prostitute on her left side, and
removing the uterus, removing
the
heart.
It's almost like a precursor of what he did over here in America, if it was H.H. Holmes. But it was one of those things where they said it had to have been a doctor. that did this. No Polish barber was going to be able to do it with this.
Yeah, right.
So then, but which makes sense then if it may not have been Holmes, maybe it was this other American that was a doctor. So they said that left only two people, and H.H. Holmes would have been one of those.
Yeah. Everything I've seen on the accounts of Jack the Ripper, because I've watched documentaries on that too.
Oh, I've always thought that. Remember the movie From Hell?
Oh, From Hell, Johnny
Depp. I've still not seen it.
Oh, it's excellent.
Oh, it was excellent.
It's so good.
The guy that listened to the author that was stating his case on who he thought, and like I said again, that I was like, if this isn't the Ripper, then he was saying how that movie really did a good justice.
It did.
The story of the Ripper. And,
everything.
You know, Johnny Depp's a good actor, so they
now
picked
just,
the right guy.
We need to cover Jack the Ripper. It'll be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Everything I've ever heard or seen about Jack the Ripper is it's definitely an educated medical background, surgical background person.
Right. Not a barber.
No.
Here it is. So I just, because this guy's really, it's a really good podcast. I'm going to have to start getting these podcasters to give us a shout out because I keep doing it. Because this episode was dated New Year's Eve 2020 called Jack the Ripper Suspect Francis Tumblety. Michael Hawley is the author. He was the guest on this podcast. So it's Francis Tumblety. The podcast is called Most Notorious, and this guy Eric, I can't remember his last name. He's based out of Minnesota.
Minnesota.
He's a really good podcaster, but he does really good interviews, and he has some really great authors about these people that tell stories from gangsters to Jack the Ripper to anything and everything, true crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Local to. And so that was the Francis Tumblety. That's the one that I was like, whoa, thing after thing he said as far as what, you know, again,
Trying to explain to Jenna because she was like, I don't want to hear about this guy. I was showing her the story there in this my little book. And she's like, I don't want to. Well, that's it. And I told her, I'm like, she loves true crime. And I'm like,
does she?
H.H. Holmes and Jack the Ripper, you don't get any more true crime than that. I mean, and those
find
are...
Find the murderer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're unsolved.
What's the motive?
Basically, H.H. Holmes, who knows? You're never going to be able to figure all that out.
Yeah.
And Jack the Ripper, potentially not either. But those are fascinating stories.
Yeah. And you know what? The other thing... think of what we've been describing H.H. Holmes as. Obviously, murderer, scam artist, but... Why did he kill those people? It all came down back to money. He always got something out. He just wasn't killing. You know what I'm saying? And so,
unless he needs the money in order to fund what he
is
wanting
to do. That's
why
I just don't think the Ripper
there's no
just
money
killed
involved.
Killed him within minutes and then left. I mean, there was not. That's a waste of time for him.
Yeah.
There was nothing he gained from it.
There had to have been a pleasure. We were talking about that being like a sexual gratification or pleasure that
I think that's euphoric.
That's
it. Yeah. In my opinion, I think in his case, it wasn't. I think Ted Bundy was, Gacy was, all these.
I don't think it was the whole thing, but I think it was part of it.
I think a small portion of it was. I think
something out of it.
Yeah, there has to be
the money, the scamming,
and just the
rush.
Yeah.
Watching this torture, you know what I mean?
Now people said
Jack the Ripper.
So I can't even fathom.
That was actually sexual.
Yeah.
Even though it was just done in minutes and, you know.
Yeah,
and
they're all prostitutes.
It's an excitement, euphoric.
He thought he was doing something great getting these prostitutes off the street, and so he actually thought he was doing a good service for the city of London, you know.
And the weird thing is,
the White Chapel,
and anyway. when the police would come and find these mutilated, mutilated prostitutes. Yeah. Yeah, I guess a couple of them were.
Some of the guts were displayed out.
I mean, who's to say he wasn't there as a spectator watching it, too? Get some sort of thrill of seeing his work being admired in his eyes. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So he could have very well been, right there watching him.
Again, what... We're talking about these crazy guys.
Yeah.
What is going on here? What is the deal? Why? Yeah, just
It is. It's, and like I said, there was, they would be excited that we're still, whoever, you know, whoever Jack mm-hmm. the Ripper is or was,
mm-hmm.
And H.H. Holmes, they would probably be really excited that they're no, I mean, even to be famous is one thing, like we said, but to be infamous is a whole nother thing.
That's
but,
another
but
level,
to
right?
them, that's mm-hmm. what they want to be remembered. And if that's the way they need to be remembered, then that's, that was okay with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, they and, did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Check.
Mm-hmm. You know, they, you're talking about, yeah, when he was buried, yeah, he wanted to be buried 10 feet deep in concrete. What was the other thing to that? Because he was afraid, he did not want grave robbers to, what's interesting, he didn't want to be
messed with.
He didn't want to be just dissected.
Like he, that's dissected, what he did. Yeah.
Other I thought, people, yeah. Goofball. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. It's,
good yeah. to do it to others, but not mm-hmm. to yourself. Yeah.
That's part of his, the psychopathic, you know, that just that whole...
Right.
Yeah. To, it's just all about him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, all, yeah. I,
nobody
it's
else
okay.
matters.
It's okay for me to do all these horrendous things, but,
do as I say,
but don't get me out of the, yeah. Even though he's dead, he still, he thought highly of his corpse to not be messed with and didn't want to be. Yeah.
One other thing, I forgot,
what's that?
About when, Jeff, the Mudgett was mm-hmm. talking about some of his proof is that they did have eyewitnesses that saw who they thought was Jack the Ripper, you know, or saw somebody fleeing, you know, from some of these murders. And they said they collected those eyewitness accounts and they put them into a computer program and it spit out basically all this conglomerate picture of what these people said. And it looked exactly like H.H. Holmes, which I thought, which a lot of guys are going to have handlebar mustaches.
Yeah.
But they said even to like his, yeah. you know, his jaw structure sure. and broken nose and all that kind of stuff.
Coming back to the only good thing about him is magnificent mustache.
Oh, yeah, that's the only positive thing.
Yeah. Just well, he is
glorious.
Exhumed.
I call it like glorious.
They that's wanted to make sure that it was truly him in his grave.
Yeah, that's where I was. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
And so in 2017, he was exhumed and mm-hmm. DNA test and so forth. And, they said he did not decompose normally. His clothes were in perfect preservation, and his mustache was found intact.
Yes, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I was kind of glad to hear that. I don't know why. I was like, what a glorious mustache.
That's pretty funny, honestly.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
And how was he positively identified? By his teeth.
By his teeth, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that.
It truly was him. That's him in his grave. He
Yeah, and I read it. They were like, you know, he went to these lengths of before he actually got, you know, hanged. He wanted to make sure he was buried in, you know, cement and 10 feet deep. And
they did it,
you know. But eventually, I thought it was funny that he was exhumed.
You
he
know
was
that makes,
out. Yeah. They still got, you know, like
you know what that makes me think of
what?
Ironically, remember when we talked about the I was telling you about the Nashville tour?
Yeah.
With the haunted cities and everything.
Yeah.
What did they call the bodies that didn't decompose?
Oh, gosh.
Incorruptible. But that
incorruptible.
Was right. So yeah. he was corruptible.
He was corruptible.
So maybe he was on the opposite end of that. But I don't know. That's what that made me think of just now.
Yeah. No, that was. I thought that was very interesting too. His clothes were what was it said? Perfectly preserved. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his mustache. That thing probably do a whole podcast on just his mustache.
They could have. Positively ID'd him by his mustache.
Yeah, right.
So there it is. That's him. Mustache.
Did they have? Yeah, they must have had product back then. You know how you got product for your hair.
I'm sure they had wax.
He probably spent hours.
Wax, yeah.
Yeah. On that, whatever that stuff was called. Yeah. And then he's hit the town.
I know a guy that plays Santa Claus every year, and he dresses up for the kids, and he'll grow out his handlebar mustache and then twirl at the end, and he
waxes it.
We asked him. Yeah, he's like, oh, I got to wax. Yep. Yeah, that's he does a really good job with it. It's pretty cute.
I had, talking about his burial, I had that he was interred into an unmarked grave at Holy Cross Cemetery, which is obviously a Catholic cemetery, in a Philadelphia western suburb of, Pennsylvanians, Yeadon, Pennsylvania, Yeadon.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Holy Cross that Cemetery right. was where he... Yeah, it was buried, but they obviously found it and got him out there just to at least identify him and put him back in. Interesting. Very interesting topic, H.H. Holmes.
It's kind of funny talking about these different things. You get a certain energy, you know, feeling about these, you know, and there's, it is kind of like with him, it's kind of there's a fascination, but it's kind of like a sick fascination or there's definitely like a yuck factor, you know, mm-hmm. It's just like, this guy's yuck, you know, I know that's not a very scientific or.
No, I think
well,
I'm
gross. Way, but that's just
disgusting.
What, yeah,
gross.
That's my
like I said earlier.
Honest reaction.
Like, yeah. I think majority of people, and I could be wrong, but you just have that fascination of what makes them tick. Why are they like that? I mean, what exactly. is so? What's going on in their head that they do this stuff and they find it normal and exciting?
And it's anything but.
Yeah, that's
right?
Their everyday life.
Yeah,
I mean, I get up in the morning and I go to work. And then I come home and see the family, and then maybe it's, you know, I work a lot during the night, but yeah, then I go to work or weekends, you know, we do whatever, we take the kids to their sports stuff, and that's our life, you know, we go, we have maybe a date night here and there, and no, this guy, he's going out scamming, scheming, murdering, torturing, that's what his schedule was like, his routine.
Yeah. Well, he is the, like, epitome of skeletons in your closet, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
When they say when he went, they went back and, you know, after he was hanged and all this kind of stuff, they had to go back and look into his Chicago mansion or the castle again. And that's when the reporters got to go in and the detectives and the police officers went in. And then they say, you know, hundreds of people actually were, I don't know, allowed in or just forced themselves in. And then everybody had their own story of what this all looked like.
Right.
And again, some of it was fantastic in nature, but like I said, it did not add up. They said there were, you know, in some of those rooms, there were chimneys shouldn't be. And there was, you know, exhaust and
open doors. Yeah. I mean, it's just the door, but there's a wall right behind it. Just crazy.
Hidden passages.
Psychopathic madhouse.
But what's weird, real quick, what we talked about, I don't know if it was the last episode or this one, but just how he knew exactly how to get around and what led to what. And just knowing that if you're a guest there, he knew exactly where you were.
He had you.
He had you. And you're done. I mean, there was no like, well, you know what? They could have done this or they could have gotten out this way. Or maybe
I would
have
ran. It's like...
There's nothing they could have done.
Yeah.
Man or woman, kid, you're done. I mean, and then just, so what method did he want to choose that particular time? Do I want to suffocate you? Do I want to, skin you alive?
Well, I mean, like I said, his
burn
stature.
Burn you alive.
I mean, if it was like a big dude or something in the room because of his stature, he's like, well, I can't beat him up or nothing, so I'll just gas him.
Gas him, right?
Then weaken him.
Yeah.
Or put him out, put him under.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just a. That I think that's the thing about these guys. These serial killers that they
so
many of them, and they when they capture you and they you're a prisoner. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And
I mean, it's definitely premeditated. I mean, you're sitting there fantasizing about it and thinking about it and building your rooms to do what you want them to do and.
Oh yeah,
I just can't.
The thought going into, well, I want this to lead to this, and I want this room to lead to this, and I want this lined with gas,
I'm sure there's
pretty impressive. On he could have owned a construction company.
Yeah,
I mean, he could have done something like that if he didn't want to be a surgeon.
I mean, I'm sure that gave him excitement too. It's like, oh yeah, I can't wait until I get this done because I get to use it.
Well, the fact that he was constantly in court, but he was just
getting a new toy or a new.
Yeah.
He was literally living one day at a time, and then he didn't even live to be what he almost was 35. I think he was he almost made it to his 35th birthday, but I mean, to me, so much happened in his young life, but what a waste, you know?
I mean, big waste.
What an absolute waste.
Yeah. But. Yeah. And, you know, you think, gosh, say right when he got to college, so those college years, 18, 19, whatever, imagine this the same age as it is now, and then to 35, he crammed a lot in 17, 18 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
he did.
Just mayhem.
Diabolical,
chaos.
Right?
I love that word, diabolical.
Yeah,
diabolical. Just
fun
unbelievable
with words.
Yeah, just and nothing was good. Nothing positive. Nothing.
Well, yeah, like you
contributed
said earlier,
to the betterment of the world or society.
Yeah, there's no positives. I mean, he didn't do anything that was good for anything
besides the mustache. The mustache.
You know what?
I'm gonna
deem him. I'm gonna call him the maniacal mustache.
There you go.
Yeah, the dude was crazy. I don't have any more notes. I don't know what else to say about this road. Other than he's creepy.
Good.
Yeah.
And scary.
I feel like I need to take like five baths and two showers and like just
Yeah. And what I like about
yourself him, you know.
You know, Nate said he didn't know anything about this guy. I never heard of him until 3 or 4 years ago. Same with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, gosh.
Yeah, I didn't know much about him either.
And then when you do, you're like, whoa, I got to find out more about this.
Yeah.
Now, who is this nutcase?
Yeah, I want to unlearn about him.
That's what I like. So hopefully, you know, hopefully some of our listeners have no idea who this dude is or never heard of him.
Mm-hmm. Everybody here is Jack the Ripper, but hardly anybody knows H.H. Holmes.
Yeah, and so knowing that somebody's going to listen to this, go, oh, okay, let's check out what episode. Oh, okay,
but when you see that,
too, I wonder what. And then just hearing us talk about this crazy maniac, just
when you see that picture though of him, it's like, yeah, I've seen that guy before. So that's where I was.
Well, you can't forget that mustache.
No, you cannot. We're never going to forget that, are we?
No. And, you know, and they said it's the only, that front, because that was his, when he was captured.
Yeah.
That's his.
Mugshot.
Mugshot. Yeah. And so that one, he's kind of like, that one I'm looking at, obviously listeners can't see it, just the straight on, and then the one he's kind of from, a little bit from the side, kind of, yeah, that one right there. That's, so guys, look up H.H. Holmes. You'll find his pictures, what he looks like. You know, not a creepy looking dude, just a normal looking guy.
There's,
I mean,
good documentaries out there.
Dress and look
theories.
At the and there's not a bunch, but because they're kind of they're all the same. But look at the pictures that show what the actual hotel looked like.
Right,
And then
it's sort of an odd shaped building. A lot of like the corners were bulbous. And,
and one of the pictures that showed, I think you posted, you know, it shows people. I mean, so it's a real photo. Mm-hmm. You can see, and it's pretty clear, you know. But I like the ones that they show what it looked like inside, what kind of the rooms were, and what each level
illustrations.
Had.
It was huge.
Yeah. And
it
so was, check those out. Do yourself a favor and check those pictures out.
Ended up being, 3 miles away, or a couple miles, 2-3 miles away from the World's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
So when, where it was at on the corner
we never
there.
Mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was
pretty close.
63rd Street or something like that is what they said.
Yeah, I saw it. Say that. Address somewhere.
Yeah.
I think I had that in my notes, but I'm not sure. I'm noted out.
The little bits. You got 7 or 8 pages of notes.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Hard to remember.
The little pieces are flowing out now.
I think I, writing my notes, you know, I
got carpal tunnel.
Yeah, my wrist is killing me, you know, but.
Yeah, I cheated. I got tired of writing, so I just printed it off.
Right. And I.
Highlighter is a lot easier.
No, I get it. The only reason I, I'll probably be doing that too. When I wrote with this dude, I mean, I've written so far of all our episodes, I've handwritten what I've read or what I've watched or listened to, whatever. This one, I don't know, as I'm writing it, so I'm reading it going, oh my gosh, why did he, you know, so whatever, it's whether it's the torture in the castle or the scams he was doing even before he got, you know, the castle built and the hotel. But everything I was writing down on this guy just even elevated it more, me writing down, you know.
Yeah.
You know, burned alive, skinned alive, torture, you know, throwing him down a chute. I mean, it's anything I wrote about what he was doing, just even reliving it again. I just read it. I got it in process. But as I'm writing it, I'm like, oh, my God.
He's kind of like
really writing about this dude. Like, this really? He did this stuff?
It was like a modern day, not modern day, but it was a real life Frankenstein, like Dr. Frankenstein, only turned up to the nth degree.
Yep. Ugh. Yeah, but like I said, guys, I'm done. Anything else to say about H.H. Holmes?
I don't think so. I think we've
pretty well covered his
his entire
34 and
biography,
almost 35 year.
Yeah.
Existence.
He made it count for the wrong reasons. But
well, again, we're talking about him and. Not necessarily in a great light, but it's in a fascinating light, but it's a sick fascination.
At least he got stopped at 35 instead of going on until he's like 80 something.
That's right.
Woo.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Even if
these are numbers you don't want to, nobody wants to break.
Even just
records.
Think of the destruction if he just lived till 50, like just another 15 years, what he could have done.
Yeah.
Or think about if he would have gotten that other murder castle built in Texas or wherever, because he's always bouncing around. Who knows? Yeah, he could have 4 or 5 going at the same time.
We'd have part 3 and 4.
We'd have part 7 and 8. Yeah, I mean, because then we'd have multiple. Oh, man, that's a good point, Nate. good thing. I mean, obviously.
Happy nobody in his immediate family came down the same way he did.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thank you for the stopping right there.
Yeah.
The bloodline didn't continue, or, you know, with the bad stuff, yeah. Well, guys, thanks for listening to part 2 of H.H. Holmes. We definitely, as you can tell, we had fun delving into it and all the craziness.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It was crazy. It was sick. It was twisted. But it's it's fascinating to dissect.
Kind of like him, all over the place.
It's a play on word, dissect.
Lots of things going on,
dissect all the
I'm
stuff
happy.
He did.
No, wait, I'm sad.
Oh, I'm creeped out. Whoa, that's wild. Oh, that's interesting.
It takes you on an emotional roller coaster.
How about this? I'm just going to tell you all lies.
Yeah, right. Everything we've just said is probably a lie.
Right.
But maybe not.
Right. Well, yeah, go check out the pictures and do some research. And if you find anything that we missed or you just want to add to it or we said something wrong, don't hesitate to let us know. We're not, perfect on this stuff. And
we have notes.
And our opinions. Yeah. And if you think he's Jack the Ripper, hey, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I just, any time like that.
Or if you think he should be up for sainthood, we could always see what we can do with the Vatican, right?
Right.
I mean, like what you brought up. These are our notes and our research, and we could very well have written something down wrong or
I'm sure we missed a couple things. Or, so much to cover.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Sean, I'm going to turn it over to you for the middle-aged moment.
You know what I got? I just got a funny little thought. Remember The Sandlot? I know we all do.
Oh, yeah.
But great when movie. He's kissing the lifeguard and they play This Magic Moment. I'm glad we didn't call it The Magic Moment. So
yeah, yeah. Anyway. We'll call it middle-aged.
The middle-aged moment. I won't have to. We won't have to sing it every time. But
and the announcements after that.
Exactly. We are going to, I've been doing a lot of poetry recently and I've actually enjoyed doing the poetry, but I'm just going to stick with a couple of quotes from various people. We just talked about some pretty dark stuff, wrapping up the H.H. Holmes stuff. It gets awfully dark. And, like I said, you feel like you need to be cleaned off after hosed off and showered up and all kind of stuff to get kind of some of that, funk off of you. But, so I'm just going to read a couple inspirational quotes to kind of get us back out of the darkness, and then we'll go over some of the announcements. And it's snack time too, isn't it? Yeah. So this one is from, the first one is from Edith Wharton. There are two ways of spreading light, to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it. The next one is from Camellia Yearing Kimball. And you do not find the happy You do not find the happy life, you make it. E.E. Cummings is the most wasted of days is one without laughter. Well, I agree with that one. That's for sure. The next one is from Hafiz is stay close to anything that makes you glad you're alive. John Wooden. This is another good one. I like this one.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him, yeah.
Nope. Was he a coach of some sort?
Something like that.
Polo.
Make each day your masterpiece. That's simple, but well stated.
He always
John
had
Wooden.
Good quotes.
Oh, yeah.
The wizard.
Sometimes simplest ones are the best.
Are the best. I agree with that.
Yeah, I like that.
John Barrymore is happiness often sneaks in through a door you didn't even know you left open. I like that one.
I do like that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Rohn is happiness is not by chance, but by choice.
I believe that one.
Yeah. I like that
one. Cause I can be in a funk and then I'm just like, I'm just going to choose to be happy.
Right.
And as long as I have a good positive mindset and keep reminding me of that, I generally become happy.
You can actually, there are life hacks that you can use and sometimes some of them work better than others. But one of them is if you really feel down and it sounds really sappy and silly, but you just smile. And your body can't help but create the endorphins and all the chemicals that a smile creates, and you start feeling better. Or smile at somebody else, and you get them to smile and bring them out of their funk. But that's a simple technique.
It kind of goes along with doing something for somebody else if you're in that cruddy mood or down.
Help just, someone out.
Yeah.
Reverses course and starts that process.
They've said that. They say do something nice for somebody especially if they don't expect it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's your mindset, and it gives you, it blesses you,
That's right.
Helps you, I guess.
Somebody told me that one time, and I still do that. I used to think, especially going in patients' rooms and people that you think, there's nothing, did I do anything? Did I actually help this person? And you wonder, and somebody's like, what you can always do is you can always bless them out loud or silently. So I find myself blessing people. And sometimes I specifically do it with people that I think are having a bad day or somebody. If I get the thought of, gosh, that person's kind of mean or rude or whatever, I think, I wonder what they're going through. And then I'm like, just send them a silent blessing. And that automatically makes me feel better.
And a blessing,
goes a long way. It's like prayer. It's it goes
and
a
the
long
blessing
way.
Is something that's not
based out of love.
It's either based on nothing that's something that's not deserved mm-hmm. or expected. That's a blessing,
right?
You know what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. and so if you're in line and you're in the McDonald's or whatever, and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to buy the person behind us. You know, you bless them,
right?
They have that's zero idea you're going to buy their meal.
Oh yeah,
and you bless them. You didn't tell them. Hey, you didn't ask them. You're just doing it, and then you move on, and they got blessed because it was
good,
something unexpected. And you know, they didn't do anything to deserve it. I mean, you know,
sometimes I'll verbally
that's
say,
a blessing.
God bless you. And I did that to one of the patients not too long ago, and she said she actually thanked me. She said, God bless you too. And she goes, somebody your age, which she must have thought I was a lot younger than what I am. She's like, somebody your age saying that is just really wonderful. Oh. And I didn't honestly. I just kind of did it almost more reflexively, and I was like, thank you. I really appreciate that. So that, you know, just
well, I know
simple
Rachel,
things go a long way.
Some of her patients, like, you know, she'd walk in and she's known, you talk like even your wife, Sean's wife and my wife both work together. They're both RNs.
They're and, glued at the hip. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they're glued at the hip. And, you know, my wife is known for smiling and everybody complimenting on her beautiful smile. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she'll walk into a room and, well, you need anything else? Can I help you with anything else? And nope. Your beautiful smile is all I need to see.
She's also, not to be weird, but she's also a good hugger. I got up when I saw her here. I always go and grab my arms. I'm a hugger too. But.
Well, she did come in. I had never met her before. Mm-hmm. And she came in. She does have a nice smile. And she offered, you know, do we need anything to drink?
She really does.
See?
She,
oh, yeah.
And I said,
she's
no, I just need
girl.
Her smile. No,
good woman.
I know I'd make her blush, but she's beautiful inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one, I've only got a couple more, sorry. So life changes very quickly in a very I got 150.
I'm kidding.
Life changes very quickly in very positive, in a very positive way if you let it. And that's Lindsay Vonn. Two more. Helen Keller is keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see a shadow. And that's from Helen Keller. So
that's true.
That is true.
And if there's anybody that
but
had
don't
the
stare.
Right not to be positive.
Is Helen Keller. Yeah.
Goodness sakes.
And the last one. So there have been 10. This is the 10th one. I thought I'd read 10. This is John Keats. Impossible is for the unwilling.
And that is true.
I think the three of us are very good examples. Mm-hmm. Yep. Not to toot our own horn, but I think the three of us are very are a good example of that. You know, we would not have known, you know, we can't do a podcast. We can't do this. We can't touch people's lives. We can't.
We have no time. We're too
be
old.
That light.
Don't have the energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But guess what? When we figure it out, we can and we are, you know, and that's why we really appreciate you guys allowing us into your ears and into your, you know, you could listen to anything. You listen to music. You could listen to other podcasts. You could listen to somebody, you know, a friend of yours or, mm-hmm. or anything out there. And you choose to listen to us. So we really, really appreciate that. So that's why I think the middle-aged moment it's a good moment.
Yep.
Not like it really is a magic moment.
I like to add a public service announcement to the one quote. If you stare at the light, especially the sun, please do not look at it. That's very bad.
You'll go blind. It's radioactive, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's a disclaimer. Disclaimer.
Yeah, I'm a welder, so I know. Don't look at the light.
You know, right. there are sun gazers. Have you ever heard of somebody that does that? And I think, oh my gosh, who's that dumb? They don't look at it when it's at its zenith. They look at it as it's rising or as it's setting.
Yeah,
it's safe to look at.
Yeah,
those
the
are,
atmosphere.
But I used to think people like gaze into the sun. Are they crazy? You know,
I mean,
like,
start seeing this. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
good though. That's fine. Middle-aged and creeped out is not responsible for any
for any blindness that may be caused by sun.
Good
gazing.
Thing, Nate. I'm glad you said that.
Can I talk really fast?
They told me to look in the sun, and I'm not.
The micro machines guy. Yeah,
they're right. I can't see my shadow. I can't see anything.
I can't see a thing.
Well, I'd say, well, I mean. You listen life. To you don't have to see us. You can still listen.
Just have to hear us.
That's terrible. Yeah. All right. There goes my dark humor.
Oh, man.
All right.
H.H. Holmes brought it out.
Was that a new spot? Humor Corner?
Humor Corner.
That's great.
It's better than the Creepy Corner.
It's called the Horror Humor Corner by Nate Laux. All right, brother.
I like
take it away.
Yeah, we need it all we can get. Humor is great. So we have an email that you can contact us at. It's makopodcast@gmail.com. You can order merch. We have merch now. That's all I'm going to say about that. We have everything under the sun that you can imagine, and it's great. So you can also at that the gmail.com, you can give us your stories and give us your feedback, anything that you need. You can utilize that, or you can get in touch with us. You can connect through Facebook, Instagram. We are at Middle Aged and Creeped Out on both of those. We love people joining the groups too, so please feel free to join us. Like I just said, Instagram and Facebook, so we know that. We keep hitting this home, and we're going to continue to do so because it really does help us to build this community, to build this podcast. We're trying to get this podcast up and going. It's for a young podcast. We're not that old. We're only, this is episode 10.
And how many members do we have, Sean?
We have 109. Oh, on Facebook, it's 196 because we're four shy of 200.
Getting close.
We're almost going to burst 200.
We have 79 on Instagram. We just gained two today. So,
and we looked at our total listens through Audioboom, which is all of our formats. And what did I tell you? The number is 538. So we were just hoping to bust through 500, and we blew through the roof. So we're very excited about that, too.
Yeah, Sean asked what we thought, and I said, what, 501? Nate said, I'll go with 499.
Just not quite. And then it was like, no, we had a really good week. Price
is right.
Yeah. We had a good week this week. So.
Yeah, we were stood there, too, right?
Yeah. So keep it going, right?
Yeah.
We just want to tell you guys how much we appreciate allowing us to be, like I said, in your ear, being able to be part of your lives. We are building a community here. We want to be able to share interesting things with you and have fun discussions, be part of your life, and you be part of ours. The whole kit and caboodle, we're enjoying all of it. Like I said, we're still young, but we're looking to be here for quite a while. So you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and a whole laundry list of any other platforms that you can imagine.
And like Nate said last episode, yeah, Audioboom, iTunes is pretty much going to be the only platform to rate and review.
Yeah. Other ones you can I think you can subscribe.
Yeah, you can subscribe. And that helps too,
but
guys.
It's not
if you're going to listen to our podcast, whatever platform, hit that subscribe button because that goes towards helping us out.
Right.
Again, like I said, the last episode, we appreciate the text messages or, you know, the posts on Facebook or whatever, telling us, you know, that we're doing a good job and all the love. We really do appreciate that. I know, you know, Sean's had a few people come up to him at work and, you know, Nate and all, don't think we don't appreciate that. We do. But what helps the podcast is that rating and review, because then that helps us move up, be found easier. And that just really, really does help.
And
so
we have a contest for you guys to be encouraged.
Yeah.
To do
it. Yeah. I said it the last episode and I totally forgot. Yeah. yeah. So each, anybody that does a review, is eligible to win a Mako coffee mug.
It's mid-March now, or mid-March, mid-May.
Yeah. May 15th.
May 15th.
Yep. And then we'll just do a random drawing the next day and ship somebody out a new
I thought
coffee
we moved
mug.
Backwards because of the snow we got. So that's why I was thinking it was March.
No, we're not going back. No, we're going May 15th.
Snow apocalypse, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, to get those reviews in, and, yeah, love to send out somebody a mug.
Yay. And one thing that we're doing, we've done this every single podcast, we'll do it every single podcast from now, is giving out the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline. Yes. First is 1-800-662-4357, and the last four is HELP. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. And the last four, TALK. And if you get nothing else out of this podcast, all of that being said, if those two numbers can help even one person out there, we have done beyond the job that we can do here.
Yep,
we have
done our part.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because it is a tough life out there, and we know that, and we've all experienced different levels of it. And some people are experiencing even harder levels. So if we can help get somebody help, you know, by God, I can die happy, basically.
And please, by just hang on. I know it's hard, but from personal experience, I can tell you, please hang on. You just need one little inch of hope. That's all you need to get through.
Right.
And there's going to be somebody out there that can help you, you know, whether it's a professional, just hearing an encouraging word from us or a friend. You've got somebody. You're loved by somebody, and we love you. And we like I said, we don't know you, but, you know, on a personal level. But like Sean said,
you don't know me, Todd.
I know you, Sean. I know you, Nate. No, but just hang in there. Yeah. Don't, you know, as quick as some of that stuff comes on, the negative stuff, it can go away. And I'm telling you right here, I've been through it all, and you know, nothing's perfect now, but I've been up and down, up and down, up and down so many times, and at my wit's end and not sure what's going to happen. And then I just keep hanging on, and I don't know when, but it
sounds trite, and I've said it before, but where there's life, there's hope.
Yeah. I'm not saying that to sound corny.
I agree.
Todd Hedges is saying this.
There's plenty of life out there. There's plenty of life.
Please hang in there. Yeah.
Well, and if you feel like, you know, nobody cares about your problems, I mean, and nobody's going to listen to you, you're wrong.
Yep.
I mean,
that's right.
People will listen to you.
There's somebody out there that's going
to,
yeah.
I know. I've had those days where you think you kind of go from one instance to the next. It just proves your point. Like, yeah, nobody cares about me. No, I'm not proving any point here. And that's that defeatist mindset. And I, like I said, I completely get it. I've let that monster be fed way too much in my past. So I totally get that. But you've got to start. They say that's an old Indian adage or a idea of where you have two wolves, you know, your entire life. You have,
I've heard that,
the good wolf, and you have the bad wolf, and you decide each day who to feed.
Yep.
And at the end of your life, do you want to have a healthy and fat bad wolf or negative evil wolf, or do you want to have a healthy good wolf? You're not going to get it both ways.
Because as long as you have hope, you have a chance. You take that hope away, then you're done. See, as long as you have a glimmer of hope, that's all you need. That is all. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. That's all you need. I could get into more later down the road what I've been through, but I'm just telling you, you have that one little glimmer. That's all you need to just keep it going. Mm-hmm. You don't need So trust me. Trust me, people. So, but yeah.
And a lot of times it's not as bad as what your mind is making it.
Yeah.
You know, sun always comes up the next day.
And I have to say, I know what we're saying is not to be make light of anything or to be, you know, make everybody's got their own situation. But I really appreciate that you're so adamant too, Todd, because you have, you know, we've all of us at this table have gone through different things and our different life experiences. But, you know, I know that you can definitely scream from the rooftops that, hey, listen to me because I've been there, done that. I know, I understand.
Thanks.
Yeah. And so I do. I appreciate you. Making that, it's driving that point home is important.
I won't mention his name, but so what was it, guys? 2 weeks ago, two recordings ago. So we had a tragedy in our family, is on my wife's side, and on her mom's side of the family. And in between us recording the two episodes, one of her family members took their own life, and it was, I couldn't believe it. And he was 35 years old, or 32, 35. Has a 4-year-old little boy, beautiful little boy, and engaged. And he's no longer around because he saw no way out. And I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's people here to love you. I mean, even if you don't think there, you know, anybody's there for you, there are.
Yep.
And you can find them. You just have to give it the time and effort.
I didn't know how much you wanted to talk about that, and so I
and I didn't tell my
too.
Wife, but I said I'm not going to mention names or anything like that. But just it was.
Those are the reasons that we push so hard, or because we don't want people to become, and I don't want to be. I don't want any of us to become the person that. Well, if we could have just said something, or we could have extended a hand of help.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine, from high school. I've lost touch with him, but I do listen to it. He has a military broadcast that he broadcasts on. And I think he's a great guy. He's a military vet. He was wounded. He's come back, and he's done some amazing things. His name's Joel. I don't think he'd mind me saying that. But he became like third in the world for downhill skiing, handicap skiing.
Oh, wow.
You know, and all these amazing things. But now he's on the radio. And his big thing with the military broadcast is, you know, the vets, suicide with vets, and making an awareness and trying to help each other out, because it runs rampant.
Yeah, it's real.
It's a real thing. And
it happens close.
When we talk about that, it's the police officers, it's the firemen, it's the soldiers, it's the frontline workers, it's everybody. But that, but that's, those are other people too, not just people living life that are suicidal, and that that it's all, oh, it's all, it's all, yeah, part of it.
I mean, yeah, nobody's immune to that type of despair, and just, yeah, you feel hopeless at times, but
right,
you can still, you can, and there's no, nothing wrong with feeling down, and
yeah, everybody has a bad day.
You know, what am I trying to, yeah, it's when it, it's when you let it just grip you so tight you can't get out of it. Like, it just keeps going and going and going. That's when it gets scary. So don't, mm-hmm, yeah. And then you, you know, there's professionals, there's medication that I know, don't be, you know, there's counseling. Yeah, don't be afraid. There's the stigma. I'm tired of, I used to think counseling was weak and I'm not going to be on medication, or I'm not, I don't need to talk about this and that. I can tough it out. Nope. Sorry, I can't.
Yeah.
Toughing it out to me is doing whatever it takes to make yourself healthy, especially it, mentally, because then it'll help you physically.
I'm going to take it back that H.H. Holmes, you know, all the stuff we talked about, I feel like, you know, we can't say good things about him, but I think that he put us in a state, talking about him, put us in this like mental state where we're like, okay, we got to make this place a better place to live, yeah, and right, helping people. And so we are,
because he did the opposite
through his not great memories. We're going to do some good. So you know what? So there, you know, and I'm sure his family would appreciate that too. So
yeah, well, good. Well, yeah, but so we love you out there, whoever you are.
Put a little cherry on top of all that.
That's right.
Said, dung heap, right?
It always gets better.
Yeah.
It just, you got to see the light and grab a hold of it.
Yep. And that's it. As long as you have hope, you got a chance. So was that, did you cover all the announcements?
I think
I'm sorry. We got a,
oh yeah. I'm down. I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try. For some reason, I got wrapped up into that.
I think I've already talked about you know, making sure people share their part, their lives, and their inspirational stories and spooky stories.
Please accept stories or any creepy stuff you want to hear.
We enjoy it. We like hearing about it.
Give us some ideas.
Reaching out for help. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, guys, that's it for episode 10. Yay. Made it to 10.
That is exciting. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I think
it feels like a long climb, but it really is. Yeah.
Yeah. So episode 10.
We got a long way to go and a lot more fun to have.
I had to think for a second. I'm like, I'm saying it's episode 10.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. 10. 10. So yeah, guys, thank you again for listening to the episode. We're so excited to bring this to you. And guys, until next time, creepies, Nate is our sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.